We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the David Bellavia Show here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hour number two. Let's kick it off. We have a guest this hour. David, take it away.
Now we got Common Council President, City of Buffalo, Darius Pridgen. He is also, and this is the Army song. I want him to be introduced with it, if it's possible. There it is. Isn't it beautiful? How are you, Bishop? Was that disrespectful? I didn't mean to be.
Can you introduce me with some better music?
Of course, he's also a veteran of the United States Air Force and reminds me of it almost every time we speak, which I think shows a little bit of bias. Can we just tell the truth once and for all? Air Force people think they're better than Army people.
Well, first of all, I could barely hear the song, so I thought it was an Army song. Was that an Army song you introduced me with?
Yes, sir. The Army song.
Army, okay, I thought you made a mistake. It is not that the Air Force thinks they are better. You used the word think. Understand. And, I mean, you let us just admit it.
Right, exactly.
Wow.
So the last time you were on the program, I thought you were older than you were, and you kindly, corrected me. And then I got a bunch of people online that were saying, how could you make that mistake? And I went online, and the number one Google search result after Darius Pridgen, age.
Are you serious?
I swear to God, no one knows. The man's 32. We all think he's in his mid-60s. That's not true at all. No, very young.
They can Google me for a lot of other stuff, so I'll take age, buddy.
Yeah, the other day, someone we're talking about your popularity in the city of Buffalo and how that's a great benefit for you and the things that you believe in, and how that's a great difficulty for people that are in the Republican Party, quite frankly. And I was saying, how popular would you say he is? And I said to this gentleman, I said, he did better in his last election than Kim Jong-un. It's true. You got 100% and Kim Jong only got like 99.8. So,
and I had a couple of opponents.
That's what I'm saying. That's ridiculous. That's absurd. But I want to talk to you first. We'll talk politics. We'll get into all that stuff. But I want to talk about God. I want to talk about the Old Testament, right? People had conversations with God. They talked to God on a daily basis. The prophets did. Moses, he didn't want to have that role. He didn't feel comfortable in the role being an ambassador, being a conduit to God. In today's world, when people are feeling compelled to do something, if you said to someone, God wants me to do this, they're going to put you in a straitjacket. No, they are. We don't have a fundamental respect and truly believe that people can be compelled to do things from a higher power.
Yeah. They should put me in a straitjacket then, because I...
So how do you do that? How do you do that in a way that doesn't... How are you dealing with people that are uncomfortable with religion, and yet you want to share something with them? This is who you are. This is what identifies you. How do you tiptoe and not offend, but still stand behind your conviction?
So I don't tiptoe, to be very honest. You know, I think that some people are not... done with religion. I think they're done with some religious people and how they represent God. I think that sometimes people can be so overreaching that people ought to be able to see the God in you without you walking around with a 10-foot cross on your neck and a big Bible under your arm based on the way you treat people. And to me, that's like one of the keys. And if you present yourself in a way that people can talk to you, that you're touchable, and every other word out of your mouth isn't God said and God said, it moves people away from what I believe God is, because I believe he's a God of love. And so I think as we approach situations, as we approach people, that people will be more accepting of God when we are more accepting of people. That's just my belief. You might not believe this, but I'm like Moses. I never wanted to do what I do. I am an introvert. I have no brothers or sisters. My parents are both alive. I grew up alone. I'm not a real people person. I don't like going to events. I don't like fundraising. And I really feel that this was my calling in life, was really not to just introduce people to God, but just to live a life that people might want to know more about the God that I love and that loves me.
So when do you make the decision that politics is a way that you can do both, serve your country, serve your community, and also still maintain that message that is really the fundamental part of your life?
You know, when I first ran, and I was the first elected official who was a full-time pastor that we know of in Buffalo's history. So, and that wasn't on the Common Council, that was on the Board of Education. And so when I first ran, it was about education, and the Board of Education at that time did everything but education. It was about contracts and buildings and very little about education, as we see now a greater focus. But I knew it would be controversial. I remember, you know, when I first ran, people saying, you can't serve two gods, and I agree. I only serve one God. And then people mixing up what the separation of church and state was, because they really didn't understand what that meant. But I was willing to take that pressure, because I'm the same. When people say you wear two hats, I really don't. I wear one hat. And the same way that I legislate is the same way that I run True Bethel. And that's not, I don't legislate and go, and you're going to hell and you can't do this. I legislate from a place of how do you make people's lives better? And wearing that hat, I've been able to wear them both. I have two different jobs, or maybe two different titles, but it's the same Darius. I'm not schizophrenic. I'm not one way one day and a different way the next day. I've been constant and consistent.
So, and I think that's why you get 100% of the vote. Quite frankly, that's obviously the constituents believe that as well. When we look at the faith, the courage that it takes to have faith, I mean, let's be totally honest. If you woke up tomorrow and you said, I'm endorsing Donald Trump for president, your entire base, everyone would question something's wrong with this guy. You know, is he okay? Why would he do that? No, but you know what I'm saying? That takes a tremendous amount of courage to stand up and say something that you know people that love you and support you are not going to support. And when you boil down a lot of the gestation period between slavery and Reconstruction and then the 20th century, Jack Johnson was causing riots. Jack Johnson beating up a white guy in a boxing ring led to people dying across our country.
Yes.
So I mean, this is all about, I have to stand up to my peer group and say, this is not acceptable. I won't allow this to happen in my presence. And that really comes back to a personal courage. We saw this with the early Christians. Everyone wanted to, are you a part of that cult? Are you a part of that group? And people stood up and said, I'm not a part of this group. This is who I am. And they suffered for it. And when you stand up with faith, you've got a target on your head. Everyone wants to know if you're living the right life, if you're doing the right thing. What are you doing with your tax money? What are you doing with your refunds? Because you stand up and say, I'm a man of God.
Sure. I have people who look at my cart, will walk past and recognize and want to see what I'm buying, you know. It is a tough life, man. I will not pretend. I mean, you know, you don't know how many times I've asked God to just release me from this life. I never wanted to be a public figure. I wanted to be something totally different. But I do believe this, you know, when people say, I don't know how you do it. And no matter what you say or what you do, there's going to be people that come against it. And I go, okay. And that's a part of what you sign up for when you're in public life. And people are curious. And I always say this, especially about Western New York. You know, you look at, or let me say City of Buffalo. You look at City of Buffalo. We the football players don't live in the City of Buffalo. We don't have actors. This isn't in Atlanta where you have all of these kind of stars or popular people that people are more interested in. So in around this area, the most popular people probably are people like, you know, a David Bellavia, a Darius Pridgen, a Byron Brown, or a pastor or something like that. So it is an extra pressure, but it comes with the job. And you just realize you get to a point, and especially after I had COVID, let me tell you, COVID changed my life. I got to a point because I was so always worried of trying to please people. I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody. And then you just get to a point where you go, dude, this could be over tomorrow. Live a little bit for you without being so concerned about the evaluation of other people. And I think when you talk about people like Jack Johnson, you know, heavyweight champion of the world, Jack Johnson, he had to go out there. And I promise you, it wasn't just white people who may have been angry with him. It's probably some black people, too, because they felt like
you Booker T.
danger, too.
Booker T. was Booker T. was totally against Jack Johnson. Black people should accept their position in society. And Jack Johnson said, it's not just that I'm not a slave, I'm free. And I'm going to date who I want. I'm going to wear what I want. I'm going to drive what I want.
He was married to a white woman.
Multiple white women, to be quite
frank. Right?
But he was heavyweight champion. No, that's very true. Very true. Now, let me get to this the COVID situation. How bad was it? Did you really question whether or not you were going to pull through that?
You know, I didn't care about me. I asked God to take me, to be very frank and honest. And I asked God to take me in exchange for my daughter, who was on life support. My daughter has three children, and this is what I said to God, literally. I said, I've lived my life, and you've given me tremendous opportunities. I would rather lay in this bed and die if you leave my daughter. So, yeah, I didn't care whether I pulled through it. I cared more whether my kids pulled through it, and that's the truth.
Do you have any issues now that you've recovered? Do you notice? Are you the same person? Can you breathe? Do you have any other side effects?
Yeah. So I do have the antibody. I think tomorrow I'm trying to give the plasma to help somebody else. I have the antibody. I get tested. I've been tested several times. I don't notice a difference. I had a lung tumor years ago. I had it twice. And so a portion of my lung, so I was really in a high-risk group. A portion was removed. Thank God I must talk a lot because I'm fine. So I don't notice any difference. I hope I smell the same. If not, I might not know how I smell. But I am up. I'm very, very healthy and back to 100% as far as I know.
We'll talk about how you smell offline, sir. We'll have that conversation privately. I wanted to. Okay, so this is something that affected your life. It affected the entire region. Many prayers, support. When you look at the Black Lives Matter, and again, I don't want to get into riots, protests, no categorization at all.
Whatever you want to.
But my argument is, isn't it highly irresponsible to tell someone, if any time in American recent history we've needed a congregation of like-minded people to have faith and to pray and to humble themselves before God, it's when during a pandemic, if we can't get together and worship, if we shouldn't be going to a rally for a political candidate, why isn't that same, finger-waving shame from the general population coming out to elected officials who told Black Lives Matter people, go ahead, this is essential, get out there, express yourselves, when not even 6 weeks later we see this boom of coronavirus through younger people all across the country, and it lines up perfectly where they had hundreds of thousands of young people in rallies?
Yeah, you know, well, first, I didn't agree with telling people who worship that they couldn't worship. So I want to be right there. Matter of fact, after I expressed that very publicly, I was contacted by the governor and contacted by the governor's office. and said, hey, let's work on this together then. We want you on this task force. And I gladly signed up. And I argued my case with not just for the Christians, but for the Jews, for the Muslims, and we were all on the same page. So I never agreed. I agreed with the safety precautions. But my feeling was if people could go to Walmart and there were, you know, precautions, and some people say, well, we just ran in Walmart. Well, you could just run in church, too. So I didn't agree with that. On the protest side, I think this country just hit, or certain people hit a wall, you know, around the Floyd situation. And they didn't care whether they were going to get sick. And I have to be honest, it was just a huge explosion that happened to happen during COVID. And I would tell people, you know, I definitely said, be expressive. I need it. I need it for my job, for what I do. But be safe. Now, whether they did that or not, but a lot of people didn't. But they also didn't when they went to clubs in different states and when the colleges had parties. So it wasn't just the Black Lives Matter movement, but it was a lot of things going on in our country.
Right, but I'm saying that there is just a reflexive, especially when it comes to liberal white people. I mean, there is, to me, if I'm going to have a conversation with someone and I am coming across as patronizing to them, I'm so eager for to be included into a club that isn't a bigot or isn't a racist or isn't insensitive. That to me is almost as racist as just coming out and saying, I was raised to believe that because of your skin color, you're inferior to me. At least I can have a conversation knowing full well, oh, this kid's just ignorant. Like, he was raised by bigots, but he's not a bad person. He's just stupid. When you hide the racism and you allow people just to say, well, of course, everything that Black Lives Matter does is fantastic. I don't want to offend anyone. And now there are people that will defend nobody got sick at a rally. And I just don't believe that.
Oh, I don't believe that. I believe that people probably did. But I do believe that there were some righteous people at the rally who felt like, I don't care. Like, what's the difference? I get sick at a rally, or we continue to not have the real conversation about racism and about brutality. And so I think when you have lived, not think, I know because I've lived in this skin all of my life. And Dave, I'm a Black man here in Buffalo. And you make a good point about people know me around here, right? If I get on a plane, the stewardess doesn't know me. And I'm still a Black man, and I see it and I feel it. So I just think that the country, and some people, you're right, I think are patronizing. I think that some people are signing up just to be in the club. But I'm going to tell you this. Most people say, we'll take you. We'll take as many voices as we can get, even if you're a bigot, even if you don't mean it. Because in order to have any positive change, we're going to have many voices.
Can I keep you for another half hour?
You can keep me for a little while.
All right. The Darius Pridgen, more with him. We're going to talk everything. He's not afraid of anything. He'll answer questions. He'll talk. And it's a conversation with people who respect each other. You don't have to yell. You don't have to be disrespectful to disagree. That is the entire intent of this program. I very much appreciate Bishop Pridgen coming on here. We're going to have more of the Common Council president right after this quick break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the David Bellavia Show here on WBEN. Hit up the text board now, 716-803-0930. David will continue his interview with Buffalo Common Council President Bishop Darius Pridgen, who, David, he and I have something in common, both graduates of Medei College.
There you go. Darius Pridgen joins us. Thank you, sir, for giving us so much of your time. I appreciate that.
I appreciate you.
I got to play this for you because it just happened and it's blowing up all over Twitter. Joe Biden was interviewed by MSNBC, and this is the, you have the quote? Here yes. It is right here.
And by the way, what you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
Wow. I mean, that's cringeworthy, is it not?
What was he talking
about? You know what the position I feel Democrats are in? And this is not a judgment on Trump, but in 2012, the Tea Party, everyone was against Obamacare. And in 2012, the Republicans ran a candidate who invented Obamacare. Right? So it was impossible to attack Barack Obama on Obamacare when Mitt Romney actually authored it. And I think it's going to be very difficult for Joe Biden to defend really what young people are upset in the streets about law enforcement is the 1994 crime bill. This is the outrage over that piece of legislation, and he authored it.
Yeah, but do you think that young people are really paying that much attention to that right now?
I don't think young people. Well, that's it. So that's my next question. I wanted to talk to you about history, and when you're talking to young people right now in the community, but also the folks that are talking about the 35,000 foot problems in the United States, there's much more to this than equality. We're talking now about equality of opportunity. We're not just talking about a blanketed statement. I always wanted to ask you, why is there such division in the way we see the world between white evangelicals and black evangelicals? It's the same message. Everything is the same. Why is it that when we leave the church, all of a sudden we're on two separate sides of the world?
Who said we're on the same side, even in the church?
Yeah, that's a good point.
If you want to be honest, I think that when we leave the church, we're often on two separate sides. But I believe that in the church, we're often on two separate sides, but we have a common denominator in the church. We can look to God. We can look to the cross, and everybody's looking at the cross. But I promise you, everybody's not looking at the cross with the same vision or with the same goals. A great friend of mine, one of the bishops in Orchard Park, Tommy Reed, is one of the best friends I have in the world. And when Tommy Reed first called me to preach at his church, I said these words to him. I don't think you want my kind of preaching at your church, sir. I said, I appreciate the invitation, but I don't think, and we didn't really know each other then. And he said to me, because I know what my goal is when I stand behind the podium, but other people have different goals and they don't have to worry about the same things I have to worry about to my congregation. Tommy Reese said to me, I'll tell you what, come visit my church next Sunday. And it was an evening service. And then tell me no. And brother, when I went to Tommy Reed's church, I thought I was in an African-American church. His daughter's on the piano playing. He'd been trained by Rick James, and we've been friends ever since. But that took an understanding and having real conversation to get there. Often the church does not want to have that conversation.
So when you're in the middle of, you've had bad sermons, you've had good sermons. You've done great speeches, you've done horrible speeches, right?
Yeah. Yep.
When you're in the middle of something that is something that you feel empowered to say, what part of your brain and heart is thinking Democrat?
None.
So why is it that it always has to come back to that? Like I don't understand why it always has to be, you know, like we can make a statement about our community without saying if Byron Brown had more control over his budget, like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't it just be a statement that we need to do something in the community? Why did I have to make it political? Why do they have to make it political?
Because I think it's easy. I think it's easy to make it political because, and then we don't talk about systems. I'm a systems thinker, as my man just said. I have a degree from my master's is in organizational leadership. And I found out something. You got to deal with systems instead of dealing with the Democrat, the Republican. I am so sick of hearing the Dems, the Republicans, let's deal with a system. Or even, you know, I'm a Democrat, obviously, but at the end of the day, everything the Democrats say or everything the governor says, I don't walk lockstep or I'm enslaved again. I have a right to my opinion, but at the end of the day, we have to work on systems more than we work on politics. And I'll say this, especially for those politicians who feel like, oh my God, I got to be reelected. I don't give a daggone about being reelected. That's how I operate. I give a daggone about how do you change people's lives and how do you make the right decisions. Regardless of whether it's with a Democrat, I can work with a Republican in the county. At the end of the day, if we have the same ideology and have the same goals, I really don't care about your party.
Well, okay, but let me just push back on that. I mean, you are in a district where you got 100% of the vote. It's not exactly like you're in a position where you would have to fight in an election because...
Yes, I will.
But I'm saying that...
Have people come at me all kinds of ways to unseat me. But I don't think I'm here because I'm a Democrat.
I see.
I think I would be here if I was a Republican.
Now, let me ask you, I want to move to the Confederate flag. Because this is, to me, one of the great hypocrisies in our modern debate right now is when we cheapen. Okay, so the Confederate flag represents something. It doesn't matter who you are. We're acknowledging that the presence of that is emblematic of a time that meant treason to America, enslavement of people,
yes,
and the death of hundreds of thousands of our fellow citizens. It's not like that flag is just the racist flag. That flag is a horrible part in our history that resulted in, you know, treating people less than treating people as property, murdering each other, and turning against our own government.
Yeah.
Okay, so if that should not be purchased, flown, or we're saying that that has power and that has meaning, and then we turn around and look at our own flag. And I know how you feel about the United States. You were willing to risk your life for it in the military. I know how you feel about the flag. But why would we knowingly offend people to make a point? If the only way I could communicate to you was by being disrespectful, that's not your fault. That's my sin because I can't articulate a point without hurting you. And if you verbalize that you're hurt by it, wouldn't it be appropriate, wouldn't it be kind to just say, kneeling is really disrespectful to a lot of people, and there's another way to make this point other than being disrespectful, and flags do have meaning. We just said that with a Confederate flag.
Here's my take on it. So I see even now, I was in Hamburg the other day, and I see a big truck, and he had the Confederate flag on it. It turned me off. I turned my head. It's his right if he wants to put his Confederate flag on his truck. However, at the end of the day, I don't think that that symbol should be on government buildings. If you want to put it on your house, more power to you. That's what you want to do. I think that it represents everything that you just said, a really terrible time in our country in which some people felt it was okay to keep Africans as enslaved people, make them enslaved people. I don't see where that flag represents anything good at all. But at the end of the day, this is the United States of America. And I chose to turn my head. And so that's where I'm at. But on a government building, on something owned by the government, where all people have to pay for that, I don't think it should be flown.
Can I just be totally honest with you and say that the same feeling I have for the Confederate flag is the same feeling I have for the Confederacy, and it's the same feeling I have for the Democrat Party. Not for Democrats.
Okay.
But the Democrat Party is one of the most disgusting organizations that America has ever created. From its inception, it was designed filibustering the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. It's the only political party to wage war against the United States. I don't understand this lie that we tell people that black people moved over to the Democratic Party because of the Civil Rights era. That's not true at all. Black people moved over to the Democrat Party at the same time white people in the South moved over, and that was because Herbert Hoover destroyed the economy. And FDR had a plan, and everyone moved into the Democratic Party. It's not because of the Civil Rights era. There were black people that became Democrats that couldn't vote in their districts in the South.
But do you think in 2010, anybody gives a daggone about how black people became part of the Democratic Party?
But honestly, sir, I'm telling you, if we're going to talk about Millard Fillmore's heart, and we're going to talk about Porter...
History, right?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that we can't take one aspect of history and say, I'm going to punish a legacy in a man because of what I suspect his heart to be, and not acknowledge that we have a political party that literally had racist platform in its national plank in the 60s.
Yes, but you're also talking about the 60s. Right now, people are trying to live in 2020, and it's the same party that where we had our first African-American president. It is the same party right now that has the voice of many of people who are struggling and people of color. And I think that if, you know, we just were talking about parties, and I just told you, I'm sick of hearing Democrat, Republican. At the end of the day, people want to hear, how are we going to fix the economy? How are we going to solve this problem known as racism? And at the end of the day, I don't think, and especially when you see the generation that's coming up right now, they are not beholden African-Americans to the Democratic Party. They're beholden to what is right and which party is stand up for.
But listen, first, I love you, but I disagree with you because I'm seeing statues being torn down because the era in which they were respected was an era where people had hatred and bigotry and they treated people as subhuman. That is the whole exercise behind removing monuments. So how am I going to talk about accountability for America? And by the way, we have not had accountability.
Let me ask you this. Is there a black monument, a monument up right now of a black person who enslaved other people? Is that should be taken down?
No, but I'm saying that all the monuments of black people are Republican black people.
It doesn't matter to me.
I understand that, but I'm saying that if the
Democrats,
but if we're gonna go, we're not. We're talking about our history, and I'm saying if there's going to be accountability for history, we have to address that. You know, for example, the organization Planned Parenthood was created by a woman, and you've read her work. This is a horrible human being. She's a horrible person. She was talking about eugenics. You would think that the national party would step in and say, look, I don't care about your feelings on abortion, but this is not going to be our ambassador. This is not going to be an organization that could be created that promoted the elimination of a race of people to make better white people. I mean, listen, you can hate black people, You can think that black people are not as good as white people, but when you think that white people become better when black people die, that is actually an enemy of the United States.
Okay.
I believe that that should be handled with kinetic force. That is a danger to our republic, and that's literally what this woman's, you know, what her platform was. I mean, it's just disturbing.
Oh, I'm not saying I disagree. At the end of the day, though, we were talking about the Confederate flag.
But what I'm saying is that it's all about symbols, and it's all about what it represents. And yet one side says this symbol represents a time and a feeling and a hatred. And I'm telling you that this symbol represents hope, and it represents freedom, and it cannot be disrespected for any cause.
Now, wait a minute. I think I lost you a little bit. What symbol represents hope?
I think the American flag and the anthem are the time that we all say we disagree, but thank God we're in this together.
But the same way, and again, I think the same way I told you, the guy with the Confederate flag, it is offensive to me, but I can't control that guy, what he wants to put on his truck. It's not illegal, but the symbols that are on government buildings, the symbols that are placed in people's faces, in public spaces that are paid in parks and anywhere else. I do believe that we have to be sensitive to other people who have to share those spaces. Again, the same way you may feel something is offensive, if it's at my private house, you can feel it's offensive all you want to. But if it is in a public space paid for with public money, I believe it should be changed. It will come down or not be visible.
I would just say that if we're talking, look, there are white people, you know, there's going to be a video of a white person in Buffalo at a Dollar General yelling the N-word, right? That is absolutely inexcusable behavior. It's outrageous. I would hope that that's not an ambassador of white people. I would hope that if a bad experience happened, that you look at people as individuals and not emblematic of a race or a religion or a party.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel that if we're going to support a movement that has been incorporated and now is, you know, raising political money and only giving it to one side, it puts a lot of, you know, folks on the right in a weird position where we have to say, well, we support the Black Lives Matter as a movement, but we don't support Black Lives Matter as a political action committee. That's not needed in this debate if we truly want to find common ground. We don't want to pick sides. And I think that that's one of the main problems with Black Lives Matter is that it's going to give $120 million to a Democrat campaign.
Yeah, well, it's going to give $120 million. Now, I don't know if that's true, but if it does, is giving it to a campaign that it believes is going to deal with the issues that they raise. That's what everybody does when they give to a campaign. Nobody gives to a campaign thinking you're not going to fight for what for what I am asking for. And so I don't see what the problem would be there if at the end of the day, if the Republicans are going to fight for what the Black Lives Matter movement is asking for, they would probably be helpful.
So if you had a president who had hate in his heart for you as because of your ethnicity, but, you know, your unemployment, he was doing everything that made African-Americans have a better life, but he had hate in his heart. Or would you rather have a president that signs the Civil Rights Act and literally uses the N-word when he signs it and is eavesdropping on Dr. King? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a biblical parable. Does it matter what someone's heart is if it benefits the dignity of people that deserve dignity?
Would you rather have? I'd rather have neither. At the end of the day, that's why you have elections. I don't think we should have to settle that, he used the N-word, but he signed this. No.
Okay, but I'm saying, though, that as we look at Donald Trump, though, as a president, there is a separation between what's perceived to be in his heart and what he's actually done. And I see that that's almost like this generation, younger people negate your actions by what they perceive to be your heart. And I think that's a horrible way to live your life.
Well, you can think it, but I mean, I don't take away anybody's right to feel whatever way they want to feel regardless, right? Because at the end of the day, that's what America is about. I think that what has divided America, honestly, is we have so many opinions. And we have so many opinions against what somebody else ought to think, what they ought to feel. And so we feel like some people feel Black Lives Matter is wrong. Other people feel like it's wrong to fly a Confederate flag. And at the end of the day, it separates us because we never can get to the conversation of what do we agree upon? What do we in this country, Black, white, Latino, what do we agree upon? And I think those are very fundamental and basic things that the reason that the Black Lives Matter movement has mushroomed almost is because we don't get to that. I think we all agree on every child should be educated properly, but it's not happening yet, right? I think we all agree on that that people should go home alive when they leave their house and not have a knee on their neck. But when we get to it, it turns into a whole different conversation, and we at times become more separated.
So, but why is that not part of this Black Lives Matter? Everything you just said is 100% true. That's not a partisan issue. There's no, but why is it that when we're talking about Black Lives Matters, we're only talking about the law enforcement aspect is one thing, but we also have a complete disrespect for Black lives across the board.
Oh, I agree.
And when we're talking about, you know, a city of Chicago that's having 67 homicides, 200 shootings, I mean, that has to be a part of the narrative. Why aren't those names remembered? Why aren't we mentioning who they are? They're victims of violence because they're Black.
I disagree. I disagree with you because it's like that's not in the conversation. I'll tell you how I know. So I bury more than half of homicide victims in the city of Buffalo from True Bethel. And I do it on purpose. I do it for free. I have the staff and the personnel, but it's not about burying the dead. It is about me addressing those who are alive because I have a captive audience, usually of young people. And you can ask anybody who's ever been to a homicide funeral at True Bethel. And it's not just me. There are other people. We address the living and say, and I said from the pulpit recently, I said, if we believe Black Lives Matter, we also must respect each other. So it is not that it's not being addressed. It is sometimes the people who think it's not being addressed are not in the company or in the places where it is addressed. So some would say, dang, they're not saying anything about that. Oh, yeah? Go to our community centers when our community police officers are there or Stop the Violence is there. Go to the corners where you see these guys.
So does that bother you? But in your most honest moment, though, does that bother you a little bit that a movement is basically standing up of young people repeating what you said when you were 22? And then you've spent about, you know, 30 years of your career getting to a point where you finally have a platform where people listen, follow, and are growing, not just, you know, following what you're saying, but they're growing into better people. And then they're taking that platform and literally, you know, they're young. They're not ideologues because they're evil. They're ideologues because we were all ideologues when we were young and in college. It's part of the growing up. You get information, you want to share it. But you've been talking about this forever. Do you feel sort of that this should be your generation and what you guys have accomplished? You're the generation of African-American leaders that finally deserve the light and the platform.
Yeah, you know what? I think that if you are egotistical and you think that you should get the light because you did the work, poor you. Because at the end of the day, the work is going to continue past my grandchildren's age. Because this didn't happen overnight. And for those who feel it's a very proud moment for me at this time. I tell young people when I talk to them right now, when they say, well, what? Why didn't your generation do such a thing? And I go, what or not? But they don't know because they're younger. They were kids. Some of them weren't born.
Darius Pridgen, I got to wrap it up. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
All right. God bless you. Randy Bushover has the news. We'll be back after that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.